Welcome, guys, to another session. Today, we are going to talk about how to become a needy. Okay, so what does that mean? That means ending, this behavior of needing from other people, of being clingy, of being dependent. There are many definitions, but basically, I like the word of becoming a needy. That means to me, that means becoming more independent, more confident, leading my own life, and doing it from a place of integrity, from a place of resilience, from a place of individuality. Okay, this is a really, really, it's a very relevant topic for me, and that's why I wanted to create this session. It also ties in really well with the series that we have done about the book of Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents. And in that book, we talked about how we have a tendency to create a self role when we are little so that we could receive attention, care, and we could fit in our family system, whatever that was for you. And also it talks about a healing fantasy that we create and how we envision that healing fantasy taking place sometime in the future and how we place people in our lives in that healing fantasy and we have expectations and how probably we were not promoted to be our true selves and we individuality maybe wasn't promoted when you were little. So today's talk is all about becoming aware of that neediness, conscious or unconscious. This can also tie it up with codependence behaviors and tendencies and many other dynamics that can happen. And today, it's really an invitation to be curious, an invitation to question, an invitation to look at your life and see where are we showing up with that neediness and how can we do something about it if we choose to. Okay, hi Becca, emotional sovereignty, I like that term. Hi a million friends, hi Iga, hi Lorette. Yeah, so how can we create that and why is it that healing to create that? And what is standing on the way for us to end that neediness and that clingy behavior that we may have. Okay, and some of the things that are standing on the way, that may stand on the way, and I'm just gonna read some of them out loud. So you may relate to some, you may not relate to them, but again, I really invite you to approach this with curiosity. Really question yourself. And if you notice an emotional connection, charge, maybe you relate with it and maybe there is something that you need to explore. And always be compassionate, be patient, be very, very gentle with yourself, okay? Fear of abandonment. Peta, yeah, that's absolutely one of them. And I have that, actually. That's one of mine. So many times I have a fear of being abandoned, emotionally speaking. Are these in the book, Emilio? No, Lorette, this is not about the book, okay? The book is very related and it was an inspiration for me, but I'm actually doing this in my own life. Samantha, my wife Samantha, and I are really on this journey of questioning every dynamic that we have, really stepping into why are we doing this way? Why are we doing this that is not serving us? Why am I feeling this way? Why is this weird? So we are questioning everything and we are really practicing this. And I will get into the strategies after and some of the things that I'm doing personally in my own life so that you can get some ideas. Your students won't abandon you, Emilio. Thank you so much, Becca. That's you guys are my family now. Could you do a course on this? I have always had problems with this. Maybe I do, Lorette, I don't know. Let's see where this session goes. I will put it on my to-do list of courses to create that. I don't have enough time to do all of them. But yeah, this is a really good, a really, really good topic. And I'm also doing a course about Tantra. And I'm doing a course with another teacher from Inside Timer here. From her name is Katrina Bosch, and I think Becca or someone, I think Becca and someone else talk about her, and I enroll in the course. And it's so interesting because she talks about the masculine and the feminine, the yin and the yang, and how to do that with ourselves first, how to become whole ourselves first and complete. And then from that place of completeness, from a neediness, interact with others. And then from that place of interacting with others, then you can also take it to all sorts of ways, including intimacy if you want to. But how we relate, how we communicate, how we emotionally interact with others, it all starts with ourselves first. Understanding the dynamics that we have inside of us and really doing our best to become whole people ourselves without needing anything from anyone. And then from that place, we can then step out in a completely different way. And I know it sounds easier said than done, but that's why we're doing this work. Okay. So let's just go through the list of things. And someone, Peta, you said abandonment, fear of abandonment. That's a really big one. Okay. So the first one I have here is fear of being alone. So many times I notice myself that I don't feel comfortable. I love my own company, okay? And I have nurtured that for the last years a lot. So I am really comfortable with my own company. I can have fun with myself. But sometimes I do notice that I don't like being alone, and I feel sadness. There is sadness that shows up for me when I'm alone too much. And then I sense neediness to be in someone else's presence. Sometimes it's my wife and my daughter. And sometimes my wife notices that. It's like, why are you here but not here? And I notice like, yeah, because I don't want to be alone, but I also don't want to be fully present with you guys, but I don't want to be alone. And I kind of like your background presence. So it's kind of interesting. Something to really look at it. I say, why am I feeling this way? Why do I need this? Lack of confidence is another one. Many times we lack confidence. So we may need other people for validation, to help us, etc. Sometimes it's feeling insecure. Okay, you just feel insecure in a specific situation and you just don't feel like leading or taking action or just doing it alone. Worrying about that, what other people will think of you, right? This is the people pleasing idea. Like, you are more paying attention more to what other people are gonna think about you that what you think about yourself and what you truly want. And many times that creates all sorts of neediness behaviors that don't serve us. Feeling jealous, a big one. Okay, feeling jealous. Not feeling like I'm good enough. Okay, going out with that feeling of I'm just not good enough. I'm not good enough to be with these people. I'm not good enough to do this action. I'm not good enough to talk about this topic. And then that is a really big one. Being a social chameleon, okay? So basically not being who you are. You will adjust to every social situation and will present yourself with the mask that you feel is required in that specific situation, but you are not being yourself. And that requires, first, that requires a lot of energy. Okay, that requires a lot of energy to be that mask on every situation and be a different person kind of idea. But also, it's really hard because you are not being yourself. So you are always pretending, you are always trying to fit in, you are always... And again, this is not something that we may do all the time, but sometimes there may be circumstances where you may notice like, oh yeah, I do that. Like I do that in so many circumstances because underneath that, there is fear, underneath that there is bigger emotions, and probably they all relate to majority of the times to inner child work that needs to be done, at least in my case. Feeling dependent. Sometimes you just depend on others, and that has been your normality. Abandonment issues. Someone mentioned that, right? Fear of abandonment. Childhood traumas. Many times we have childhood traumas, our needs were not met, and then we grow up in dynamics that are not healthy, and many times we need something from other people to feel complete, to feel like we are taking care of. Poor modeling of healthy, secure attachments. Again, this goes back to when we were growing up. No one modeled that for us. So we don't have a role model on how that looks like. So it's very difficult to create something, to be something that you have never seen before. Emotionally immature parents or caretakers. And we talk about that for the last six sessions, right? We talk about the impact that being in an environment with emotionally immature parents or caretakers, the impact that has in kids. When you are growing up, you will learn from your environment, you will become whatever your environment is. And if you don't have emotionally mature people, you will have a hard time knowing what that is and how to behave on a different way. Lack of self-identity, lack of purpose. That is a big one. Many times we don't know what our identity is. And again, this goes back to when we were covering the book. The book was talking about you cannot be yourself, your true self. So you will create a self role that will help you fit in whatever family system dynamics were happening. And then you grow up with that self identity. And it's not you. It's not the true you. So the work is to really uncover what the true you is and break all of these dynamics by doing this work, by questioning, by becoming aware, by stepping into who you really are and what you really want, rather than trying to fit in, trying to pursuing these dynamics that no longer serve you in any way, really. Fear of rejection. Many times we don't want to fail. We don't want to be rejected. We don't want, so that we don't take action and then we become needy because someone else has to do it for us or someone else needs to make a decision and we become, we just feel fear. That's me many times, right? And I'm working on that a lot with my wife. Many times I don't step up because I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to show up. I am afraid. I don't want to fuck up. My perfectionism shows up and that creates neediness. That creates dependence. That's a lack of identity. That's a lack of confidence. That's a lack of individuality. You don't allow yourself to be yourself. You don't allow yourself to just act and learn from your mistakes or whatever the journey brings to you. And it's very important. Wanting someone to complete you. This whole idea of finding your half orange, right? In Spanish, it's tu media naranja, your half orange. It's just so wrong. You don't find someone to complete you. Ideally, you will complete yourself first, and then you will share your life with someone else that is also complete, and you don't need each other for anything, but you want each other. It's very different to want something than to need something, and we're going to talk about that after, okay? Need for certainty and validation, and this is also people-pleasing, right? Certainty, validation. So you do things because you want other people to give you what you didn't get when you were little, most likely. And that is praise, that is validation, that is attention, that is whatever that is for you. When you stop needing that, when you can provide that for yourself and you end that dynamic, all of a sudden your actions are going to be different. You won't need to do something because you need something from people outside of you anymore. And then codependent, right? Codependency. But being needy and being codependent is a little bit different, okay? I was looking at this because I was really curious to know the difference. And codependent means that one partner needs the other partner. Okay, so that's neediness. One partner needs the other partner. That will be neediness from one side. But in codependence, one partner needs the other partner, but the other partner needs to be needed, okay? So the other partner needs to be needed. So there is a need from both sides. And this is the difference here. When you are being needy towards someone, the other person is not always going to need to be needed by you, okay? So you can be needy and the other person is not needy. You can be clingy, you can be jealous, but the other person is not interacting in that dynamic, right? But sometimes you need the other person and the other person feels better when they are needed. And then you complete that dynamic. And that's the codependence that will keep going on over and over and over until someone stops it. So those were some of the things that came up for me, some of the things that I was kind of doing a quick research and some of the main ones. Is there anything else that you guys think of that may create neediness that I didn't talk about? The three tenets of codependency: the want to be wanted, the need to be needed, and the need to prove oneself. Beautiful. Becca, thank you for sharing that. And what is the Spanish term and the English translation? Yeah, media naranja, so half orange. your better half. In English will be finding your better half. In Spanish we say tu media naranja, so your half orange will be the translation. But that's such an ingrained belief that everybody says, yeah, you have to find your half orange. And until you don't find that, you won't be complete. And it's like, no, it shouldn't be that way, right? And this is not, so becoming a needy doesn't mean that you become arrogant or selfish or I don't need help, I can do everything on my own. It doesn't mean that at all, okay? What it means is that you want things, but you don't need them. And when we talk about the strategies and the ideas, you are going to understand the practicality of this and how you can get started, okay? No such thing as a better half. We are 100% ourselves. Becca, beautiful. That is what we should strive for, okay? We are 100% complete and whole ourselves. And from that place, we can entertain other people. We can share, we can want things, but we don't need them. It's very different. So guys, is there any other thing that is coming to your mind of things that may create a needy behavior? Something that may create this clinginess. Oh, I need the other person, or I need this because I cannot be alone, or I don't know how to do it myself. Or is there any other thing that comes to mind before I move into ideas? And just curious, how many of you here feel needy in some areas of your life? What about limerence? Lorette, I don't know what that means, to be honest. What does it mean, limerence? Losing both parents has made me want a relationship more because I now feel... So Angela says, losing both parents has made me want a relationship because I feel alone. Yeah, so that's an example of, and it makes sense, okay? So whatever you guys are feeling, it makes sense. It's a valid feeling. If you are feeling something, it's just the truth of the moment. And I don't want you to shut that down because that is the truth. And that's why the invitation is to be with what's present, to really sit with it. And to accept it. I am feeling alone. I feel sad. I feel needy. Because the sooner you do that, the sooner you're gonna be able to understand why, the sooner you're gonna be able to process it, and the sooner you're gonna be able to find a different approach. Okay? And I will dive into the examples of my own example so that you guys can see some of the things I'm doing, and hopefully you can share some of the things that you maybe want to try, or maybe you are trying. So let me read some of the comments. Self-worth causes neediness. Love may mean different things to different people. Absolutely, Becca. Love, receiving love and giving love can be completely different for each person. That's why healthy communication, intentional communication is so necessary. Because if you make the assumption that other people are going to understand how you receive love and they're gonna know how to do it without you telling them, you're making a big mistake, because no one is gonna know until you share it with them. Okay. So fear have no one anymore to look out for me except myself. Yeah. It makes sense, Angela, that you feel alone and that you feel that no one is looking out for you except yourself. And it makes sense that nurturing relationships, friendships, and having someone around that looks out for you, it feels really good. And it's something that I think everybody wants that. So it makes total sense that you feel that way. And there is nothing wrong with that. Okay, it's very different to want something or to need something. And sometimes we may need it and we are aware of it, but we are taking action to get it in a way that feels healthy, in a way that feels aligned. So lack of self-worth. So limerence, it means to put someone on a pedestal, a strange attraction to someone. Like adoring others. Yeah, Lorette, it makes total sense. And that is, of course, if you put someone on a pedestal, that means that you don't feel good enough. That means that you are comparing yourself with others and they are way better than you. And of course, you are going to need them because you won't feel good enough to take action, to make decisions, and you are going to feel dependent on that person for leadership. That was me with my wife so many times in the past around the business. She was more confident, she was bolder than me. And many times she would just take risks that I couldn't handle. And then that put her in the position of leadership. And that put me in the back of like, I'll follow you because I don't know, I don't feel strong enough to do this. I don't see this working out, so I don't want to make a choice. And then I put her above me and then she's going to do it. And then I lose my individuality, I lose my confidence and I just follow. So it makes total sense, and I can relate to that a lot. Anxiety and feelings of insecurity makes me needy. Needing someone to be beside, even I don't want to really interact with them, but just to be there for me, just in case, like a personal security. Yeah, Ren, beautiful awareness. So my invitation is to become aware of that, to sit with those feelings of insecurity, and to really understand what is underneath that. And it makes total sense that you feel insecure. And again, when we feel insecure, we feel insecure. And there is nothing wrong with that. Okay? And we can actually communicate that with the people around. I am feeling insecure right now. I don't really have all the answers, or I don't have all the information, or I feel I don't know how to get this done. And I'm feeling fear, and I'm feeling a little bit paralyzed. And I don't like what I'm feeling, but this is the truth of my moment now. So there is nothing wrong with sharing what you are feeling. Standard of living can cause neediness. We preserve our safety, healthcare, and mental well-being with this person versus being unhoused. People pleasing the other person by letting them have their own way to avoid conflict or causing them unhappiness. Yeah, Becca, that is a clear example of hidden neediness, okay? So one person needs to get their way or the highway, so they need to get that through the way they need. So that is a neediness from the other person. Maybe it's a neediness from you, right? So yeah, these are very good examples. And things that you guys can get started working with. Okay? Thank you so much for sharing these things, guys. It's amazing. So do you guys wanna hear some of the things that I'm doing? And maybe we can keep the conversation going with other examples of yours if they come to mind. Some of the strategies, okay? These are some of the strategies, and then I'm gonna put in some of the stuff that I'm doing too. But basically the pattern is to become aware, okay? To really question things and then become aware of what's underneath that. Like, how am I feeling? When am I feeling this way? Who am I with? So you just become aware of what's happening. So you notice things and then you accept those things. You don't deny them, you don't hide them, you don't repress them. You accept them because they are the truth now. It doesn't mean they're going to be the truth forever, but right in this moment, you are feeling those things. And the sooner you can name it, the sooner you will be able to move on, process, do whatever you need to do to hopefully start changing that, if that's what you choose to do. Because again, this is a personal choice. You don't have to do anything you don't want to. But if you are here, most likely you are going to be curious, you are going to be noticing new things, and most likely taking different action, okay? You can ask others. You can just be completely vulnerable and honest and just ask others. I have done this many times in my life. With my good friends, I will just go to them and say, guys, like, I just did this when I went to Spain. Hey guys, it's been like 10 years that I've been living outside. We don't see each other a lot, but we are still in touch. What do you see from the outside? What do you see? How do you see me? What do you notice? Is there anything that, please share whatever you see. And the good and the bad, share everything. And I'm completely honest, I'm open, and I really want to listen to what they have to say. Sometimes they say things and I feel, nah, that's not really relevant, or that's your point of view, but that's okay, but I am asking. And many times they see things that they really heard. It's like, oh, Fats, that is so true. Thank you for pointing that out. And I now know. And now I have a validation, a reflection, and it's not just in my head. And sometimes they come up with things that I haven't even thought of. And it's like, wow, like, I never thought of that. And if you can see it clearly, there is something there. So I will explore that. I do this with my wife. Be courageous. Honey, how do you see me? What am I doing that bothers you? When am I being needy? What are the behaviors that you don't like from me? We do that all the time. We bring this to dialogues. So we do it in a place, in a structure that feels safe, especially if we are touching wounds. Sometimes we start having conversations that seem casual, and all of a sudden we touch something and we know, oops, yeah, this is something very deep, safety. And then we just say, safety, we need a dialogue. We cannot keep going because one of us is getting charged, emotionally charged or triggered, and it's elevating voice, it's getting agitated and feeling attacked. And then we need a dialogue. We need to go to the dialogue that I always share about, intentional dialogue, create structure, validate empathy, and then end with gratitude. And we do that both ways. If we don't do that, we will end up fighting, elevating the voice, screaming at each other, and we will not solve anything. That was the past. We will not solve anything because we won't feel safe. One of us won't feel safe. One of us won't feel validated. One of us most likely is gonna make the other person wrong. So we're gonna do all sorts of unconscious things, and we want to avoid that at all cost, okay? So asking others can be a really powerful practice, very vulnerable. So don't do this with everybody. Do this with people you trust, with people you respect, and with people that you really want to know from, people that really know you well, okay? So let me see what you guys are sharing. Planting seeds. That's beautiful that you can invite others for observation and you are open. Yeah, Becca, why not, right? Like, if you cannot do that, why can't you do that? And that's another thing to explore. Why can't you ask the people that you love how they see you? Because probably you are not ready. Probably you are afraid, probably. So that's a good place to start. Like, what's present there? What's stopping you from doing that? What is the resistance? And that is a beautiful way to explore. And again, you don't have to do anything that you don't want to. But my invitation is to find your edge and to always push it a little bit, because if you don't push your edge, you won't change anything. You're just gonna keep doing the same thing over and over. And if that is your choice, that's okay. Okay, you don't have to do anything you don't want to. But if you are here, I am assuming, I'm making the assumption that you guys probably want to change something. We can say ouch when we feel attacked or hurting or unsafe from the other. Yeah, Becca, that is actually a very beautiful, expressive way of sharing without words how it feels. And that is actually very nice and very helpful for the feminine being, right? Because if I'm aware, if I am conscious in the moment and Samantha says, ouch, or she says, ah, or she does something, I am going to be like, oh, what happened? What did I do? Oh, that hurt. Oh, I'm sorry. So I will become conscious really fast, right? And I won't feel attacked because she's not telling me anything, but she's expressing the feeling that she's feeling, right? So that's beautiful. If you guys can do that, that is an amazing way to express the truth of the moment without words. And the other person hopefully will get it. It's like, oh, okay, I said something, I did something, and then they will, oh, so what happened? Was it my tone of voice? Was it my aggressiveness? Was it the content of what I said? And then you can explore from there. So yeah, that's a beautiful way. I don't ask because I don't trust what they have to say. It's on their own projection, goes through their own filter. So good or bad, it is more about them than me. Yeah, Juliet, and that's why I was saying that some of the things I will recognize, this is a projection, this is not about me, but some of the things they will really resonate with me. And again, don't do this with people you don't trust, with people that you make the assumption that they're gonna do this with people that you feel comfortable and you actually care about what they have to say. And if there is none of those people in your life, then don't ask anyone, okay? These are only ideas, not something that you have to do. Okay? So nurturing time alone. This is a beautiful one. Like, how do you nurture time alone, time with yourself? How can you date yourself? And this is something I talked about a few years ago, like dating yourself. The concept of going out and doing things with yourself that you will enjoy. And you don't need anyone else to be there, just you and yourself. And nurturing your own company, discovering what that looks like, discovering what you enjoy and like. And then basically imagine that you want to have the perfect date and you want to do the perfect thing that really inspires you. What is that? And then when you discover what that is, then you go and do it with yourself. You may go to a concert. You may go to a beautiful dinner. You may go to watch a movie. You may go for a walk in the park. You may go and do whatever that is for you, right? And I can tell you guys that majority of the times, I have met some of the best friends I have by doing that. I remember in Barcelona, I really wanted to rollerblade. And I finally put my rollerblades on and say, I'm just going rollerblading. I just had to do it one time. I went one time out with my partner at the time. And then one guy stopped out of nowhere. He was rollerblading, stopped really fast, gave us a card, joined the group guys and left. And I said, what do you mean join the group? And then he gave us the contact of a group of people that met every week to rollerblade. And from there, we discovered all this world. People were doing lessons in parks. People were going on excursions through the city. And that was my reality until now. Like when I was in Spain, I actually went to that group again and I was rollerblading every Thursday night. So this happens with kitesurfing. This happened with all things that I like. And I started doing by myself, hiking, finding a group of people to go climbing with, any activity that you may think of. If you get started and you start doing it, most likely you are going to find people alike. Okay, so spending time with yourself, very, very important. Taking full care of yourself, like discovering what that looks like. How can I take full care of myself? Doing an emotional cleanse. Okay, this can be really helpful. Doing an emotional cleanse can be really, really helpful. What does that mean? Sometimes people do like a male cleanse or a female cleanse, and basically they stop contact with the other sex for 3 months, 6 months, and they discover things, they get aligned with themselves. Sometimes couples do that. Like I have done this with Samantha, like an emotional cleanse of, we are not going to need anything from each other. We are just going to be functional. We're going to take care of responsibilities. But emotionally speaking, I don't want demands and I don't want anything from you. And let's just do this for a few days. and let's just see how it feels, because sometimes it becomes kind of toxic. So doing an emotional cleanse family, we talk about this about the book, right? Sometimes creating distance, creating a boundary of contact with a person that really charges you, that really drains you, that really you are involved in a really toxic dynamic and you wanna change. Sometimes just doing a cleanse, just create distance can be really, really helpful and healing. Okay? So discovering your true self and what you like, I talked about that before, like what is that? And you don't need to know now, but dating yourself, going out and doing things that you like just because by yourself, it won't be long until you start finding people to do it with, but you have to do it yourself and you have to own it and you have to have fun and you have to feel complete with it. That's the whole point of this, right? Another thing is creating structure and creating clear boundaries. This is really important, right? Many times I am needy because I'm not being clear. I don't know what to expect. I don't have specific structure. I don't have boundaries. So I'm wishy-washy, okay? But when I am in purpose, when I am clear, when I am confident, when I say this is, I'm going to squash, I am going to do this today, from this time to this time, I'm not available, from this time to this time, I'm all yours. Like when I am very specific, very concrete, very structural, very clear boundaries, all of a sudden I am way less needy because I am more intentional and I know what I'm doing. And then all of a sudden the neediness disappears because I'm just being more clear. And I'm also asking for what I want. Maybe I go to my wife and say, listen, today I would love to connect with you maybe after dinner for an hour. And I would like to do this practice or this exercise, or I would like to watch this movie. How does that feel? And then I don't need her to do that, but I want it. And if she says no, cool. I'm going to read my book. I'm going to do it by myself. No hard feelings, right? So all of a sudden the neediness disappears because I'm being clear with what I want. And if she doesn't want that, I will just do it by myself. So creating structure and creating boundaries and gaining clarity is really important. And as always, reflect, test, tweak, test again, tweak, repeat until things flow the way you want. Okay? Healthy communication, as I was saying, very, very important. Making clear requests of what is it that you want. Consent before asking for presence is really important, especially when you have neediness tendencies. It's important to ask for consent. For example, with my wife, anytime I am feeling emotional and I would like her to hold space for me, I need to ask for consent. I can't just go to her and, oh, I'm feeling this way, because maybe she's not ready. And she will tell me, Emilio, this is not fine. You have to call a dialogue. I don't want to do this now, or I'm not in the right, or I have a call. So I need to ask for consent, and vice versa. She will come to me and say, Emilio, do you have 5 minutes, or do you have half an hour, or can I share something with you? And maybe I'm going to be a little bit whiny, but are you okay with it? So we ask for consent, and then we share. And that is really important, asking for consent. This ties with creating structure, creating the boundaries, right? And the structure that is needed before you do something. Creating space for others to be free. And this is something that we do a lot. Samantha needs a lot of time by herself. I like a lot of time by myself to work, to play sports, to be by myself, to create, to whatever, right? So we help each other create that structured time by taking care of Eva, by taking care of meals, by taking care of their responsibilities. And it looks like we have a calendar, but sometimes it looks like, hey, babe, I got you. You are free. I will take care of Eva. I will feed myself and her. I will take care of whatever. You go for the next 3 hours. It's just you are just alone. Or for the rest of the day, just you are on your own. No one is going to want anything from you. And she's like, And then she just does whatever she wants, and no one is going to expect anything from her. No one is going to need anything from her. So being able to create that space for each other, for us, has been really, really healing. Okay? So let me read some of the comments that you guys have, and we can open up for questions. About Imago Dialogue that you guys are asking, there is a lot of content around that. I have done a live session about that. So I will invite you to listen to some of the recordings, because that will be a whole. I can dive in if you guys want to after, but I feel that we have other things to talk about. Intentional dialogue that moves our relationship toward a more conscious relationship. Yeah. Create space for others to be free without the partners becoming offended. Yeah, Becca, and this is neediness, okay? When the partner needs you to be there all the time, when you have to parent your children together all the time, for me, that is neediness. Why do you have to do that? Especially I'm talking from my own experience and what I need, okay? And every couple, every family is gonna be different. In our case, there was a frustration. When Eva was born, after the first month and a half, 2 months, it was chaos, right? Well, you know, like feeding, getting used to routines, and the baby doesn't sleep well and whatever. So it's just chaos and you have to accept it. But after 2 months, we started doing the sleep training with Eva. And after she was 3 months old, she was sleeping 12 hours a night. She was napping 2 times a day. So we had structure. She started going to daycare 3 days a week. And then Samantha and I were frustrated with each other many times because there was no structure. So she said, I want to go to yoga, I don't know when. I wanted to play squash, I don't know when. She wanted to do some work, she didn't know when. And then we always had to ask each other, hey, can you take care of Eva? And me the same. And it was to the point of like, people were calling me to do something. It's like, I don't know. I don't know if I can or not. Maybe I will go to the gym and then I will come back and then she will be resentful because I spent too much time at the gym. And sometimes it was the opposite. She went to yoga and then she maybe stayed at friend's house for a little bit. And I was frustrated with her because she wasn't home. So for us, this became a lot of, and then we decided to make a calendar. Say, okay, we both need a lot of independent time and that's fine. How can we make that happen? And we created a calendar. This is when I'm taking care of Eva and you are free. This is when you are taking care of Eva and I am free. And when I'm free, I am free. You are not to come and ask me for anything. You are not to expect me to do anything for you. And vice versa. And many times people ask me, oh, are you guys divorced? Because we have this, because I tell them, no, I have Eva from 2 to 10 or whatever. And they say, oh, are you guys divorced? I said, no, but I don't want to wait to be divorced to do this. And the funny thing is that every time I see a divorced parent and I talk about this kind of structure, they always share the same thing. Oh, it's so nice to be free. It's so nice to feel free for a period of time. So maybe they have their kids for 1 week and they have a week off. Maybe they have their kids for 3 days and they have 3 days off, whatever that looks like. They are completely free for a few days, both of them. And they really appreciate that. So for me, it's like, why do we need to wait until we get a divorce to get that? Why can't we create that now? So that was one example of how we created that structure so that we stopped the neediness that we were feeling from each other. And it was toxic. Okay, so that's just one example. How to deal with other person being so easily offended when there is an implication they don't like? So Jude, that's, I think you need to dialogue with that person. You need to really understand what that person needs, what that person wants, for that person to listen to you and understand what you need and what you want and the reasons why you feel that way. And then from that place, something new will show up, okay? And let me just share about the Imago Dialogue, because what you are asking has to do with intentional dialogue, Imago Dialogue, okay? So the Imago Dialogue is a structure that you create with another person. And you both enter the dialogue with the willingness to listen, to don't interrupt, don't make the other person's experience wrong, don't fix, okay? And be willing to validate and be willing to use empathy, okay? So if both people agree to enter the dialogue with those conditions, that creates a lot of safety, a lot of trust, a lot of connection. If both people enter a dialogue with that in mind, honestly, it doesn't matter what you bring to that dialogue. It's just, you're just going to solve it. You are going to process it. Something is going to happen and you are going to be able to move forward in a completely different way. Every time my wife and I do a dialogue, we always learn something from each other. We always become aware of something that we didn't know about myself and about her. The reasons why she was feeling the way she was feeling. The reasons why she felt triggered. And all of a sudden I learned that something happened when she was whatever years old that I didn't know. And that's why she reacted that way. And I was triggering that with my tone of voice, for example. So do you think that if I know that, next time I won't use a different tone of voice? I won't make sure that I don't trigger her if I know that that's a trigger for her. So, and vice versa. So that's why Imago dialogue is so powerful. Empathy and validation. Okay, so first thing that you will do, you will bring something that bothers you. Okay, for example, it's like, Emilio, when I come home after work and you are in the kitchen and you ask me what's for dinner, I feel used. I feel that you are being needy. I feel that you can't take care of yourself. And that makes me feel burdened. It makes me feel angry. It makes me feel responsible. And it makes me feel that you don't care about me and you don't take care of me. I would love to see you take action, to see you cook meals, to see you don't need me to take care of you. That will be maybe what she's expressing, an example. So I will repeat everything. So it makes sense that when you came home today, Samantha, and I was asking what's for dinner, it makes sense that you felt this and you felt that. It makes sense that you want me to take care of myself. It makes sense that, so that's validation. And I will repeat every word. And then after, I will use empathy. I can imagine how coming home after work and having your partner asking you more questions and demanding things from you, not even saying, how was your day? Can I rub your back? I can imagine how that feels very burdening. That feels very needy. And I can imagine how that is the last thing that you want from me. So I am putting myself in her shoes. So how do you think she's going to react when I validate what she says and when I express empathy to her? Do you think she's going to be agitated, or do you think she's going to feel like, oh, I'm feeling hurt? And then from that place, do you think that I will keep doing the same behavior or she will keep doing the same behavior? Most likely, no. And you can make a clear request from that place. I would love if we can sit down and we can create a schedule. Who is responsible for dinner? And maybe we alternate days, or maybe we don't do dinners for each other. Okay, and again, this is another example of something that we are doing. For the last few months, Samantha and I, we decided we are going to be completely independent. When it comes to meals, I don't have expectations of you cooking for me, and I don't want you to have expectations for me cooking for you. If I am with Eva, I am responsible to feed her. If you are with Eva, you are responsible to feed her. But when it comes to you and me, we are removing everything. No expectations, no schedule. You take care of yourself, I take care of myself. Let's just do that for a few weeks and see how it feels. And we are doing that. And now it's funny because we are doing that. I take care of myself. She takes care of herself. We still do the grocery shopping together, or we have a grocery shopping list. Sometimes I cook, and now it's like more, it flows more, because many times I cook and I leave a plate for her. Many times she cooks and she feels like leaving something for me. So many times we check with each other, hey, today, what are you doing today? Oh, I'm going to be home. I want to treat you for dinner. Okay. And I take care of everything. I set the table. I cook a beautiful meal and then we share it. And sometimes she does that, but there is no expectation. There is no need. There is no dynamic. And that is what's beautiful, that for us it's working, because we are clearing all that neediness that we were facing before and the resentfulness that we were feeling. And now when we do something, it's because we want to. And if we don't want to, no one is asking for anything. And we are self-reliant, we are taking care of ourselves, and it feels really good. So that is another example of how you can become a needy in a dynamic that maybe before it was kind of tense, and we are doing that with work. We are doing that with areas of our work because we were too entangled to the point that I was being needy of her to make decisions, as she was being needy of me to make decisions, and we decided to, no, this is your department, you take care of this, you do it. If you need something from me, you ask for it, and then I will support you, but if not, I am not to go and micromanage you, and you are not to come and micromanage me. We can have a meeting, we can express what we want, what we would like to see happen, we can get on the same page, but once we decide that, how she does it or how I does it, how I do it, is not the other person's business. That's another example of how we are eliminating that neediness in that area too, because it was becoming toxic, it was killing our sexual polarity, it was creating a lot of tension, and we were killing each other's creativity because we were trying to do it the same thing, we were trying to do it my way and her way, and we were trying to kind of battle to see who was leading. And it wasn't working well. So that's another way for us to create space for each other and support each other when we need it. And that's a thing, asking for what we need, when we need it, clearly. Not making assumptions, not having hidden expectations from the other person and then getting mad when they don't do it, that they don't even know what they have to do, right? And we are expecting them to do something that we need, but they don't even know what that is. And you don't clearly communicate what that is. So very important, right? Course, please, on that type of relationship with self-reliance and separation and no expectation and neediness. Okay, one more course for the list. I'll put it down. Becca, I would love if you guys have ideas for courses and you have specific topics that you see can be helpful inside that course, don't be shy. Ask for what you want. If you send me an email with the course title and the things that you want me to cover on a specific way, most likely I will create it. Most likely. Okay, so ask for what you need and most likely you will get it. But no expectations also. So what are you guys saying on the... Guys, we paid Emilio one-on-one for a session. He was amazing. Amy, I love you. Thank you so much. You guys did great in that dialogue. It was truly life-changing. Imago has been a daily practice lately. It brings us closer every single time. So many tears and so much healing. Ah, thank you so much. It's just so true, guys. It's just so true. Samantha and I think we do dialogues pretty much every other day, sometimes daily, because there is so much stuff that comes up. So much stuff is showing up, and she's doing therapy with a therapist, and she's uncovering a lot of past trauma and stuff. I am doing a lot of work with my man's group, and then we are also evolving together. Now we have to move homes because our landlord is selling the place, and we have to move somewhere else, and we don't know where that is. So that creates a lot of tension too. So there is always a lot of things happening. And if we don't have space to share and space to express and space to process, it's just way too much. It's just way too much. So Imago Dialogue for us has been life-changing. I think Samantha and I probably wouldn't be together if we didn't discover that tool. Probably we wouldn't be together. And that's the truth. The topics you bring, I didn't know others shared my experience until you bring it here. Yeah, you are so welcome. You have a gift facilitating Imago, Emilio, truly. If your heart calls you to do this, I want you to know. Thank you, Amy. I actually ran a couple of Imago Dialogue workshops here locally, and I was able to witness two couples do a real dialogue, and it was so beautiful, and they did such a good job. And I always love how that new tool, they are gonna practice it, and they are hopefully spreading that word out into his circle of influence, right? Their circle of influence. And there is a really beautiful, humongous yard. It's like this kind of big tent with a fireplace. And Samantha is pushing me to facilitate one, a bigger one there. So maybe I'll do it. Love your authenticity. Thank you very much, Emilio. You're welcome, Elena. Maybe it can save you our marriage. Imago, I shall see. Yeah, guys, honestly, it is a beautiful tool for repair, okay? For clear communication and also for repair. Repairing past resentments, repairing things that happen, healing a lot of healing happens in those dialogues for us. And it's really powerful to do it with your partner, the person that you trust the most, most likely, the person that you love the most. I find this interesting because my husband and I are using the same method, a therapist, to learn how to be more entangled. We were too independent and not working as partners. We both have been working with a marriage therapist for 4 years and in individual therapy. We both have a lot of childhood trauma. Yeah, that's amazing, Charlotte. Thank you so much for sharing. So just for you to know, Samantha and I, my wife and I, we are normally the opposite as all the other people. Why? Because majority of the people, they are working outside of the home. They each work separately. They have a family. They have a lot of things. So they are trying to find time together because they don't spend time together at all, right? So the fight there is to find connection, to create time to be together. And that's where maybe making dinner, maybe arriving home, it looks so different than for us. For us, we do everything together. So we work together, we raise our children together, our daughter together, we were having the same hobbies together. So for a period of time, pretty much we loved each other so much, we shared so many things together that it became like we were with each other pretty much all day. So we had to actually create time to separate ourselves. And some people don't understand that. But we had the flexibility. We worked together. We would do the sessions together. We were creating the courses together. We were doing the workshops together. We were coming home and cooking together. So everything, we would play squash together. We would play volleyball together. We would meet with our friends together. So it was too much. It was way too much. So for us, the work was to detangle. And again, that's why I always talk about every couple is it's a unique experience and situation, and the needs are gonna look different. And that's why clear communication with each other and questioning all of these dynamics that we are sharing today can help you understand what is it that you need, what is it that you want, and then start trying things and see what works. For us, when we could create those pockets of time where we could be completely free to do whatever we wanted as an independent person, for us, that was so healing. For another couple, probably that won't be the case, and that's okay. That's why it's important to recognize what is it that I want and need, and what can I try? What is the strategy that may serve us best here? Okay? Requires both people to be willing, though. Yeah, absolutely, Becca. I mean, if you want to communicate with someone, both people need to be willing to communicate. If you are trying to communicate and open your heart and the other person is trying to fix what you are saying, is trying to find solutions, or is interrupting you, or is sharing their own opinion about something, I don't know, how much are you going to open? Are you going to feel safe? Is it going to be respectful? No, it won't. I can tell you it won't. And it will end up in a discussion, in an argument, and most likely nothing will be solved because everybody's gonna be agitated, no one is gonna feel validated or and then from that place it's gonna be really difficult to solve anything. So that's why being willing to listen, being willing to validate, being willing to don't fix, don't make the other person's experience wrong, and be able to put yourself in the other person's shoes and imagine their reality from their point of view. And that's not about you. So when you are listening to the other person, it's all about the other person. It's not about you. So you don't take things personally. You don't feel attacked. You leave your emotions aside. And then you will have time after to share your own experience about what happened. And when you can do that together and you can support each other for that, that would be a really good way of doing it. Charlotte says, it has saved our marriage and we have met each other again after 25 years. But I believe this method only works when there is a buy-in from both people, of course, in the relationship. It has to be intentional and conscious by both partners. Absolutely, Charlotte. Absolutely. That's why if they both don't want to do it, then what's the point, right? And then a bigger discussion needs to happen. If that's the case, so then it's like, so then why are we together? I mean, if both people don't want to reconnect, like if I want to have more intimacy, if I want to have more connection, if I want to do Imago Dialogue and I go to Samantha and she doesn't want to do that for me and she doesn't want to hold space, she doesn't want to share, it's like, so then why are we together? Like, what are we going to do? Like, if you, so do you care about me? Do you want to make this work? Or because no, if she doesn't want to, then that will be a different scenario, right? So maybe we just become co-parents forever, but maybe we don't want to be an intimate partnership anymore, right? So yeah, it requires both people to be open, absolutely. And it requires huge doses of empathy, absolutely, Charlotte. I'm confused, why not try to fix a topic via Imago? No, Becca. So you don't try to fix the other person when they are sharing, okay? So if I'm sharing something, I don't want the other person to try and fix what I'm saying, to try to find the solution for me. I want to be heard, to be validated, and my experience to be okay. I don't want my experience to be wrong, and I don't want the other person to fix me. Of course, you will fix and you will make requests and you will try to move forward on a different way, but you are not going to interrupt the person that who is sharing and try to fix something in there. It's very different, okay? It's very different. Do you have an Instagram and do you have courses like this on Insight Timer? So Amber, I have five or six courses on Insight Timer. You can find them. If you go to my profile, you will see there is live events, there is courses. So you can find all of them there. And then there is an About tab. And if you click in there is a link, a profile link. And if you click in there, you will find website, all the social media and video courses that I have and et cetera. So everything is in there, okay? So guys, time is up. Let me know if you have any last minute question that you want me to answer before I go. As always, if you can support me with a donation, that will be amazing. That will support my time, my energy, and I'm always happy to keep doing these lives, but donations really help me. And yeah, if you have any questions before I go, please share them now. Imago is to fix the problem, not the person. Yeah. So Becca, Imago is not to fix anything. The purpose of Imago Dialogue is to be seen, to be validated, and to be heard, for the other person to really get you and where you are at. From that place, you can incorporate the non-violent communication structure to make a request if you want to, okay? You can always make a request. It doesn't mean you are gonna get it. But the purpose of the Imago Dialogue is for you to share what's coming up, for you to share how you feel, and for you to be seen, witnessed, validated, and empathized by your partner, okay? That is the whole goal of Imago Dialogue. From that place, then you can request something if you want. During the dialogue, when you are expressing, you can say, when you did this, I felt this way. What I needed was, and next time, if it's possible, I would love if you could, blah, blah, blah. So that is a clear request that the other person really understands how you felt. They understand what you need, what you would like. And then it is their choice to do that for you or not. I mean, you can't force them to do it. But what I mean by fixing, imagine that you are expressing, when you said this, I felt X, Y, and Z. And then they stop and say, yeah, but you could, I mean, if you do this and this, probably you wouldn't feel that way. So that is fixing. That is interrupting. That is not listening. That is not creating space. So it's very different, right? So when I say fixing, not to fix the problem, it's like when someone is expressing, you don't get to interrupt and fix anything. You are just listening, being a mirror and reflecting back, okay? So this is so pertinent for my relationship now. Thank you so much for your time and works and words. Amazing. So guys, thank you so much for being here. I hope to see you in the next session where we're gonna be talking about procrastination. And I do have a new course on the topic, healing, overcoming and healing procrastination. So that will be the next live session that we are gonna have. Okay. I hope that you guys have an amazing time. And I could take on Imago with some friendships. Yeah, Imago dialogue can be used with friendships, can be used with co-workers. It can be used with anyone, really. So it's really good. Yeah, my opinion. But Imago works when both partners are also conscious on working on themselves as individuals. The understanding being that you need to feel whole in order to be in part with your partner. So that's a good point, Charlotte. And I will say that conscious can mean something different for each person. My own experience tells me that if there is willingness, the rest will come. Okay? So if a man comes and he's not very conscious, but he's willing to become conscious, he's willing to do the work, he's willing to try, he's willing to show up, even though he doesn't fucking know how, but there is willingness, I will say that you can enter an Imago dialogue with that person. And that person at the beginning, probably they won't have the capacity to do all the work. I didn't have the capacity to do all of this. The first time we did the dialogue, Samantha and I was crying, I was disconnecting. I couldn't hold it. It just was too painful, too intense. So we were able to do it in a couples workshop, a 6-month program that we did together. And we were able to do it with a coach. We were able to be guided. We were able to be witnessed. And then from that place, we both started to practice and practice and practice. So there was willingness. There was no capacity at that time. There was no really consciousness from me to be able to do it. But I was willing to show up. I was willing to keep pushing, even though it was so uncomfortable. So that is my observation, but every person is different, okay? And you won't feel safe with everybody doing this, and that's okay. But if there is willingness, there is hope. Let's put it that way. My partner Tony and I, we have been together for over 21 years. Both have cerebral palsy. Tony uses a wheelchair and cannot walk or verbally speak. He speaks with a computer voice. As a caregiver and his partner, I have been experiencing to him how I can use support from him and encourage him to express how I can support him better. Now, when I create meals for him, although he cannot physically help me, I have asked him to help me by coming into the kitchen and see what I'm doing. He has done so. I appreciate him for doing so. Yeah. Again, it's a wonderful example, Liz, on how it's just so important to find what is it that you need, okay? What is it that you truly want and need in the moment? What is bothering you? And then express that, because that is the truth. And it doesn't mean that it's true. It doesn't mean that it's gonna last forever. Maybe this is the result of you being emotional that day, but if it is present, it is the truth in that moment. And it's okay to express it because you are going to feel affected by that. And your mood, the way you show up, the way you talk to your partner, to other people, is going to be affected by how you feel. That's why creating this container and being able to express it is so powerful. It's really, really powerful. Okay? Amazing. So guys, I'm gonna let you go now because I have another appointment to do. Thank you so much for being here, and I hope to see you all in the next life, if you can make it. Okay? Adiós.